Have you ever noticed how some of the coolest gadgets are like the tiniest things, like earbuds, fitness trackers, all those intricate little pieces inside your phone? And then, you've got the bigger stuff like furniture and car parts. It's all made with injection molding. It's pretty amazing how one technique can make such a range of sizes, isn't it?
It is, yeah. It's a bit like I guess you could say it's like having one recipe that can make, a bunch of different things. Like anything from a delicate souffle to a hearty loaf of bread.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah. So the core process is the same, but the ingredients, the tools, the techniques you use are gonna change a lot depending on what you're trying to make.
That's a great analogy. That's actually exactly what we're going to unpack today.
Right.
We've got a whole bunch of research papers, articles, some industry reports.
Cool.
They're all about injection molding, but specifically how size changes things.
Sounds good.
Our goal is to give you that insider knowledge
Yeah.
so you can really understand all the choices and the challenges involved.
Yeah.
So whether you're a designer, an engineer, or just someone who's, fascinated by how stuff is made, this is for you.
Absolutely.
So to kick things off, let's talk about molds.
Okay.
One of our sources had this really cool picture.
Yeah, huh?
It was comparing a mold for like a tiny sensor to one for a large chair component.
Wow.
The sensor mold was like a piece of jewelry almost.
Really?
Like super intricate.
Yeah.
But then the chair mold was, it's big and bulky.
Right.
And it just really showed the engineering behind it.
Yeah, it highlights that. With big parts, you have so much pressure injecting that material into the mold. That mold has to be super strong to withstand that force,
So it doesn't crack.
Yeah, or warp.
So it's almost like you're building a bridge versus a birdhouse.
Yeah, exactly.
Both of them need to be strong, but the forces are so different.
And they need different engineering.
Exactly.
Large molds will often use thicker steel. Sometimes they'll even have those support ribs you see in bridges. It's just to help distribute the pressure.
Interesting.
And then, we've got to think about the materials too. What's going into those molds?
The materials, choosing materials can feel a little overwhelming, can it?
Oh, no thing.
There's strength, weight, cost.
Yeah.
And these days, you can't forget the environmental impact.
It is a lot to balance, for sure. Let's just start with small parts.
Okay.
A lot of sources will point you to metals like aluminum and stainless steel
Okay.
because they're strong, but they're also easy to machine, which is crucial when you need such precise parts.
I can see that.
Think about, the tolerances on something like a watch gear. You're talking tiny fractions of a millimeter.
Wow.
Yeah. So you need strong but workable materials.
And then with the larger parts, I'm guessing those super strong lightweight composites come into play.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not always as simple as just saying composites are better for big stuff.
You know, each composite has its strengths. The source material dives into some of those specifics.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, so carbon fiber reinforced polymers, they're amazing when weight is critical, like for those structural parts.
They're probably more expensive.
They are, yeah. Then you have your glass fiber reinforced polymers. Those are more cost effective. So those get used in automotive interiors, housings, things like that.
This is where I start looking around my house and thinking, what is this lampshade even made of?
Right.
And why'd they pick that over something else?
It really makes you think, doesn't it,
Yeah,
about everything around you.
it does.
So when we're talking plastics, they're super versatile across sizes.
Right.
The source material has this great table, breaks down all the different types and what they're used for. So
Cool.
you've got your everyday plastics, like your ABS and your polypropylene. And then you get into the higher performance stuff.
Okay.
Your polycarbonates that are super impact resistant, your PEEK for high heat,
Right.
and even bio-based and biodegradable options are getting more popular.
Those are great. I've noticed those eco-friendly materials are becoming more popular.
For sure.
One article even mentioned how some companies are thinking about recyclability like right from the start,
Really?
which I think is fantastic.
It's definitely a good sign. Shifting from just thinking about what works to, what's responsible long term, it's
Absolutely.
incorporating values.
Okay, so we've got our mold designs, we've picked our materials, now we got to fire up those machines.
Right.
But I have a feeling it's not as simple as just pressing go.
No, not really. The sources all make it really clear that, like, trying to make a large part on a machine meant for tiny stuff. It's like using a jackhammer to carve a statue.
Oh,
The wrong tool for the job,
wow.
disaster.
And when we talk about tools, we're talking some serious machinery.
Absolutely.
Our research talked a lot about large-scale CNC mills and lathes.
Yeah.
So like the heavyweights. Yeah, for the big parts, for sure.
Like if you're making a massive mold for a car bumper,
mm-hmm.
you need some serious force just to clamp it in place.
Yeah, and to control that injection process.
And these machines are built for that, right?
Exactly. They can handle those extreme forces and stay accurate even at that scale.
One of the sources mentioned this term, work envelope.
Oh, yeah.
Which I thought was a cool way to think about it.
It's a good one.
It's basically the 3D space that the machine can operate within.
Like how far it can reach and move.
Exactly. And yeah. for large parts, that space has to be huge.
It does, yeah. It's not just the mold itself. It's the injection unit, the clamping mechanisms.
Everything needs room.
You need a lot of space to maneuver.
But then with smaller parts, it's less about the space.
Right.
And more about the tooling.
Yeah, you got it.
Like super delicate tooling.
Think about the machines that are used in, you know, microelectronics.
Oh, yeah.
They're not as big, but they're incredibly precise.
So instead of brute strength, it's finesse.
Yeah. They use these tiny specialized tools like micro drills and laser cutters
Uh-oh.
To create these like super intricate features.
With tolerances measured in what, microns?
Microns, yeah.
It's like comparing a construction crane to a surgeon's scalpel.
Exactly.
Both are essential, but for totally different things.
And even though we tend to focus on the main machinery, the sources emphasize that the supporting systems are just as important.
Oh, right.
Like cooling systems.
Mm.
So with large parts, you need those elaborate channels built into the mold.
Yeah.
Just to circulate the coolant and prevent warping.
Right.
And then with those small, delicate molds, the temperature has to be perfect.
To make sure every detail comes out right.
Exactly. It's a whole other world of engineering just happening behind the scenes.
Making sure the product meets those standards.
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. And you know that precision, it carries over into another big thing with injection molding.
Okay.
Cycle time.
Cycle time.
Right. It's like the heartbeat of the production line.
So when I think cycle time, I'm picturing a factory floor.
Right.
Everything moving, like rhythmically.
Yeah.
But it's not just about how fast it's going, is it?
You're right. It's not. You could have a machine making tons of parts every few seconds.
Okay.
But if they're defective, then you're just wasting time and money.
Right.
The sources all talk about finding that balance between speed and quality.
So it's like that sweet spot.
Exactly.
Where you're efficient,
yeah.
but you're not, you know, skimping on the quality.
Yeah. One of the papers we have actually goes into some case studies.
Oh, cool.
Where companies tried to go too fast.
Yeah.
And they ended up with a bunch of parts they couldn't even use.
Oh, wow.
So you got to be careful. You really have to understand the process.
To get it right.
Yeah.
So are there like strategies to avoid those problems?
There are, yeah. A lot of the sources talk about lean manufacturing.
Oh, lean. Okay.
Yeah. It's all about finding and getting rid of waste.
Oh, okay. So waste can be anything from like unnecessary movements
yeah.
to like too much inventory.
Exactly.
Or defects that have to be fixed.
Anything that's not adding value to the final product, you know.
So not just physical waste.
Right. It can be wasted time or effort.
I like that. That's interesting how a concept like lean manufacturing can apply to something like injection molding.
Yeah, it's a good framework.
Are there any other techniques that companies are using?
Let me think. Well, automation is a big one.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Especially with technology getting so advanced, robots can handle those repetitive tasks really well.
And really fast.
Yeah, and super precise, too. So that can cut down on cycle time.
And fewer errors.
Yeah, because, you know, people get tired.
Right.
But robots, they just keep going.
It's like having that perfect workforce.
Yeah.
Do the sources mention any, like, downsides to automation?
Yeah, actually, one article brought up the cost.
Oh, right.
Those robotic systems, they can be expensive to put in place at the beginning.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And then there's programming them and maintaining them, which adds a whole other layer, you know.
So it's not as simple as just buying the robot.
No, you got to think about the whole picture.
Are you sure it's worth it?
Yeah, financially and, you know, for your process overall.
And then, of course, you've got continuous improvement.
Oh, yeah. That's a big one. That's less about a specific technique.
Okay.
And more about a way of thinking.
Oh, interesting.
Always trying to do better, you know, looking at what you're doing, finding ways to optimize, make things faster and better.
So it's like never being satisfied.
Right. Always pushing for improvement.
Love that.
And these principles, you know, the lean manufacturing, the automation, the continuous improvement,
Yeah.
they all apply no matter what size part you're making.
So tiny medical devices, huge car parts.
Exactly. It's about taking those ideas and using them for your specific situation.
So we've covered like the mold design, materials, machines, and now the cycle time.
It's a lot.
But are there any challenges that pop up just because of the size?
Oh, yeah, there are. It's almost like two different worlds.
Okay.
On the one hand, you've got these huge molds, right?
Right, like car dashboards or, I don't know, boat hulls.
Yeah, exactly. And then you've got the tiny, intricate molds.
Like for electronics or implants, medical stuff.
Right. And each size has its own hurdles.
It's like comparing building a skyscraper to making a watch.
That's a perfect analogy. So, with large parts, one of the biggest things is that material flow.
During injection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got this massive amount of molten material, and it has
Remember?
to fill every little space in the mold.
Quickly and evenly.
Exactly. If there's any problem with the flow, you can get weak spots, air pockets, warping.
So it's like pouring a concrete foundation.
Yeah, like you want that concrete to spread out perfectly.
So it's a nice and strong.
Exactly. And with the small parts,
Yeah.
it's less about the volume and more about precision.
I can see that.
Like if you think about a microchip, those tiny filters, the circuits, they need to be perfect. So every little detail in the mold has to be spot on.
So you go from a huge engineering challenge to a microscopic one.
That's a big shift.
And the room for error gets so small.
Yeah, it does. And those tiny tolerances, they can really affect the cost.
Okay.
One of the papers actually breaks it down, the cost of making those small parts.
Wow, interesting.
To get that level of precision, you need special equipment.
Right.
And then you have all that quality control, all the inspections.
Rich adds up.
It does. So it's a good reminder that size isn't the only thing that makes things expensive.
Right, the complexity and the precision matter too.
Yeah. And on the other side, you know, large parts have their own cost problems.
Because of the materials.
Yeah, you need so much material.
Especially if you're using those like high-tech polymers,
Right.
they're way more expensive than regular plastic.
They are. And we can't forget the cycle times.
Oh, right. Because they take longer to cool.
Yeah.
More time on the machine means more energy, higher costs.
Exactly. It all adds up.
So it's not as easy as saying big parts cost more or small parts are cheap.
Right.
There's so much more to it.
It's the materials, the precision, how many you're
You
making.
really have to look at everything.
And having that knowledge lets you make better decisions.
Exactly, which is what we've been trying to do today.
Give you the information.
All those insights, it feels like we've covered the whole world of injection molding in this deep dive.
We have, yeah.
We started with those images of the molds, the tiny one, like jewelry, and the huge one for the chair.
And those really showed the challenges for each size, didn't they?
They did. Like with big parts, it's all about strength and stability.
And managing those forces, all that material you're injecting.
And even the materials themselves show that. We talked about steel for the molds,
Right.
and then those composites, carbon fiber, glass fiber.
Especially when you need it to be strong but light.
And even with plastic, which seems so simple,
Yeah.
there are so many options.
The source material had a whole list of them.
ABS, polycarbonates, even the bio-based stuff.
It's amazing how much variety there is.
And then the machines, the huge CNC mills and lathes for the big parts,
Yeah.
compared to the smaller, more precise ones.
It's like different tools for different jobs,
Right,
really.
like a blacksmith versus a watchmaker.
Exactly. And we can't forget about all those systems that support the process.
Like the cooling.
Yeah, keeping those big parts from warping.
And the precise temperature control for the tiny ones.
It's all important.
And then there's cycle time, that rhythm of the factory.
The heartbeat.
It's not just about being fast, though.
Right. We saw examples where going too fast led to problems.
A bunch of unusable
It's
parts.
a balancing act for sure.
Finding that sweet spot. So we talk about lean manufacturing
Yeah.
and automation.
And always trying to improve.
I like that. Always pushing to do things better.
It's what keeps things moving forward.
But even with all those shared techniques, size still brings its own challenges.
Yeah, it does. For those big parts, it's all about keeping that material flowing smoothly.
Like pouring a concrete foundation.
Exactly. You don't want any weak spots.
And then with the small parts, the focus shifts to precision.
Making sure every tiny detail is perfect.
Those tolerances can even drive up the cost.
Yeah, they can. So it's not just about the size of the part when you're talking about cost.
It's everything, the materials, the complexity, the precision.
You have to see the whole picture.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, what's the key takeaway?
Well, I'd say it's that size really matters in injection molding.
Okay.
It affects every decision you make, from the design to the materials to the cost.
And understanding that is crucial.
Whether you're making something new or just trying to understand how things are made.
I like that. Appreciating all the thought and engineering behind everyday objects.
Exactly. And hopefully we've made our listeners a little more curious.
Yeah, maybe they'll look at a plastic bottle and think, wow, how did they make that?
Or their phone, all those tiny parts inside.
It's really amazing when you think about it, all the challenges and the solutions.
So to everyone listening, keep exploring, keep asking questions.
Maybe even think about using injection molding for your own projects.
It's a fascinating world.
It is. And with that, we'll wrap up this deep dive.
Thanks for listening.
Until next time, keep learning, keep creating.